Well, good morning again. After my approach to the podium, I probably don't even have to talk to you about getting old. You probably already see the results. Last Sunday, my brother Jacob asked me that since Jay would not be able to speak today, if I would just talk to you a little bit about that big 9-0 that I experienced. And I told him I would. But the first thing I want to do is I have a confession to make. It snuck up on me. I had no idea that it was getting that close. Of course, I had sense enough to know that every time I go to the doctor, and that's quite often, they want to know the date of birth. And I say, well, 11-13-33, just like that. But I never thought of what it meant, 11-13-33. I didn't realize that I'm approaching 23. So I'm telling you that it happened without my knowledge. I never dreamed that I would ever be 90 years old. Well, the reason for that is my poor mother and father both went to be with the Lord when they were 65. Well, that pretty much tells you that longevity is not one of the genes of my family. I didn't expect that I would ever be a 95. In fact, I don't know of anyone on either side of our family that got out of their 70s, except my dear sister. She made it to 93. She broke the mold. So here I come behind, and I've reached that big 9-0. As I was approaching this, I thought about getting old, and I began to think of two men in the Bible that were considered to be old men. And I thought about how they approach this thing of getting old. You probably are familiar with both of them. The one that's most familiar, I'm sure, is Caleb. You know him. And then there's Barzillai. He's not quite as well known, although he is a great man, the Bible says, as well. But the first one I want to consider is Barzillai. If you don't mind, if you'll just open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 19 and 32. 2 Samuel chapter 19 and 32. Second Samuel 19 and 32. Now keep this in mind as we're reading it. These are two men, both supposedly old men, and they both have reached old age. But I want you to notice how they handled it. It was like night and day. First of all, Barzillai. Now Barzillai was a very aged man. And I want you to notice this too. Notice this carefully. He was an aged man. He was even 80 years old. He was 80 years old. Barzillai was 80 years old and considered an old man. He had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, and he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And notice what he said. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern between good and evil? That maybe suggests to me he may be getting a little having a problem with dementia. Can I discern good from evil? Can thy servant even taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? He probably was having a little hearing problem as well. Then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king, thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in my own city. be buried in the graves of my father and of my mother. But behold thy servant, Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. So this is Barzillai. He's an old man now. He's 80 years old. So what's he going to do? Well, it sounds like he's ready to go home and lay back in his recliner and wait till the Lord takes him home. That's all he's got in mind. He says, I can't hear people singing. I can't taste what I eat. I can't even discern between good and evil. He said, what good am I? And remember, he's 80 years old. He says, so I'm going home. I'm not going with you. I'm going home and just die there with my family. I'm going to lay back and wait till the Lord takes me home. Now, that's one approach to old age. That's not the approach that I want to take. I've always prayed, Lord, if you let me get old, please allow me to grow old gracefully. But I never wanted to feel like I wasn't of any good or any use to anyone. So now I want to look at Caleb. I want to look at Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17. And Moses sent him, and what I'm reading there is Moses sent 12 men, one from the each tribe of Israel, to spy out the land that they were about to go into that the Lord had promised them. And Moses then sent to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what is the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that we dwell in, whether it is good or bad, and what cities they believe be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there is wood therein or not. Be of good courage and bring out the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. We won't read any further. You know the story anyway. They went and spied out the land. Among the 12 was Caleb and Joshua. They too were with him. Let me pull up this little bench. I think I can make it now. But they went and spied out the land, and they came back with that report. And Caleb, he was ready to go. He came back and told him, it's a wonderful land, it's a good land, it's exactly the way the Lord described it. And the people are great and so on, but we're able to take it, let's go. He was ready to, fired up, ready to go take the land. Joshua the same way. But the other 10 spies gave another story. They said, well, it is a good land. And then we've got the proof here. We've got to think of a bunch of grapes so large they put a pole through it and put it on their shoulders and brought it back. That's how large the bunch of grapes was. And they said, it's a good land, but we're not able to take it. The people are too big. You know, cities are walled, and it's just more than we can do. And they discouraged the people, and they would not go into the land. And you know the story how that God told them that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years, but really why they were wandering, because they were waiting for every man who was not above 20 years of age at the time this happened, he wanted them to die. And that happened. Every one of those men died except Joshua and Caleb. And after that, they went in to take the land. So I want you to look again at what happened to Caleb. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. This is again the second old man we're looking at. We looked at Barzillai and how he approached old age. Now we're going to look at Caleb. And that's going to be in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years was I when Moses, thy servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. He was 40 at the time he went. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So this is 45 years later. So Caleb is actually 85 years old. He's 5 years older than Barzillai. And the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And boy, notice what he says. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength for now. For war, both to go out and to come in. I am amazed at those statements, that statement. I cannot say that. I don't think I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. But Caleb, I think he was sincere. And we have to take into consideration the physical condition of these people. Some people are a little more healthy than others as they grow old. Barzillai may not have been very healthy, so I don't want to condemn him for his attitude toward old age, but I am impressed with Caleb. He says, I'm just as strong as I was the day I went out. And he said he wanted to continue on. And notice what it says. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, both for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. He wanted the toughest part to conquer. He wanted the mountain. Give me this mountain where the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how that Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. What a different approach to old age. He did not want to give up. He wanted to keep fighting. He wanted to keep going. And the Lord knows that's what I would like to do. Again, I just ask the Lord to allow me to grow old gracefully. While I was thinking about, and of course I've been thinking about it a lot lately, getting old. One day I was reading my choice gleanings, and the verse of the day was, Remember how the Lord hath brought thee along. Remember how the Lord hath brought thee along. But then it also said something else besides that. It said, And when thou hast eaten and are full, that thou shalt bless the Lord. In other words, be thankful. So that was the two things that sort of occupied my mind as I was beginning to realize I was getting old. I said, remember how the Lord has brought thee along, and to be thankful. And I began to think of all the many things that I have to be thankful for. And if you look that word up in the Strong's Concordance, you'll find it appears a lot of times. It's so many things that we are told to be thankful for. And I thought of the one that heads the list as far as I'm concerned. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I'm so thankful that during my life, I realized what the gift of God was, and I received it. I remember that night when that little verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I remember the gift that he gave me. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But then there's another one that I think is very important. Sometimes we don't think of it as much as we should. But Paul said this, I am bound to give thanks for thee, brethren. Oh, how thankful we should be for one another. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we even forget that one another exists. We're so busy doing our thing, so busy doing this and that and the other, that we forget one another. But Paul said, I'm bound to thank God for thee, brethren. Let that be our a way we think about it too, that we are thankful to God, first of all for his Son, that brought us all together and put us into one body. And then let's be thankful for one another. That is so important, to love one another. And remember how he said, do this. Love one another even as I have loved you. There's no greater love than that. No greater love than a man would give down his life for his friends. And that's the type of love he wants us to have for one another. So two of the things that we need to be thinking about as we grow old is that remember that God hath brought thee along the way and be thankful. As I've been thinking lately about getting old, I thought about Rusty Goodman. I know y'all have heard of him. Alan's mentioned him many times. He wrote a little piece called Now I'm Thinking About Home. And I've been doing that a lot. I've been thinking a lot about home. And I've also been thinking a lot about the promise that the Lord Jesus gave us when he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So as I'm thinking about home, I'm thinking about his coming. Because like the hymn writer said, the sky, not the grave, is my goal. I want him to come and take me home. Of course, if he doesn't come, then I'll go to him. As the Apostle Paul said, I will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And as I was thinking about these things, I thought about life as I go back over my 90 years. There are many things that have happened in my life that I didn't necessarily want to happen. There are things that I would like to have avoided, but they happen anyway. And then there's one verse that sums the whole thing up. It's found in Thessalonians. We are to give thanks for all things. Not only the good things, not only the things that we want, but maybe some of the things that happen to us that we don't even want, that we never expected, that we certainly didn't ask for. But we still should be thankful for them because we never know why they happen. And that reminded me of the time I read a book about Corrie ten Boom. I think it was the name of it was The Hiding Place. And if you don't know her, she was one who did a lot to protect the Jews and help the Jews, to hide the Jews when Hitler was trying to put them to death. Well, finally she was caught and she was put in prison with her sister and her father. And her father died there, but she and her sister were in prison there for quite a while. And her sister used to complain a lot about the lice that were in the place they were being kept. Terrible infestation of lice. And she complained about it. But Corey would tell her, remember, we're to be thankful for all things. And her sister would say, be thankful for these lice? She said, of course, we should be thankful. She said, just think of what would happen if these lice were not in here, how the men on the outside would feel freely to come in and molest us and torture us. She said, God has put those lights here for a purpose. It keeps them out and keeps us safe. You know, sometimes there are things like lights or anything else that comes in our life, and we don't understand why it's happened. It reminds me of, and you ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's embroidering, where you take a piece of cloth and you take stitches and you start through and you try to make a picture. And if I remember correctly, and when you look down at that picture, it's beautiful. It can be flowers, it can be animals, it can be anything. But if you turn it over and look at the bottom side, it's a disaster. The stitches go, am I right, ladies? The stitches go in every direction. There's no rhyme or reason whatsoever for what's at the bottom of that picture. But the top is beautiful. That's the way God sees it. He looks at it from the top. We look at it from the bottom. And sometimes we don't understand why these things are happening. But if we could see the finished product, if we could see the finished picture, we would know God was in control and he knew what was best and he did what was best for us. So remember two things as we get old. And most of you are so young, you don't even think about getting old. I know I didn't when I was your age. But someday, if the Lord doesn't come, you're going to get old. Think about it. Remember the way in which he has led thee, and be thankful. Also, I've thought about the life's burdens, and sometimes they're almost hard to bear. But I thought about what Paul said. He had a lot of problems, too. He suffered a whole lot when he was here on earth. But he said this, I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not to be compared with the glory that shall follow. And I'm sure that's the way it's going to be. When we get to glory, all our trials will be over. We won't even give them a thought. There'll be nothing. Because we'll see him and be with him throughout the countless ages of eternity. Recently, I've been thinking about several little tunes that sort of tell that story. And I've been going over them and over them in my mind, singing them to myself, and I'm sure my wife is real thankful for that. I didn't run around singing out loud, but I'd been singing them to myself. And if you don't mind, I want to share those with you today. There is a message in God's word that our Savior put it there to ease my load of care. Already I forgot the word. I'm going to start all over. There is a message in God's word. That's what happens when you get old. May I go to the second one. Sometimes the road seems long, the trial's hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur in despair. But Christ will soon appear to take his bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. His power will be so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all trials will erase. So let us run the race till we see Christ. But until then, my heart can sing when I pause to remember the trials here are but a stepping stone upon a trail that's always leading upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day
my eyes behold my Savior until the day God calls me home. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, I have a longing, I'm homesick to go to a land without heartaches, no sorrow or woe. There's nothing can hold me in this world below. I'm homesick for heaven, I've got a longing to go. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be. Father, we thank thee for thy love, for thy grace, for thy beloved Son, for the precious promises we have from thee, that he's going to come back and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we shall be also. Father, we pray that thou will help us to live our lives in such a way that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We just pray, our God, that thou will bless and keep us, watch over and protect us as we commit ourselves into thy loving care, in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.